We're going to turn to Psalm 27 this morning to read it together. Let's hear God's word. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord, and this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his tabernacle will I sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, O Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, O God, my Savior. Though my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not hand me over to the desires of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, breathing out violence. I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Let us pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we asked for the outpouring of your Holy Spirit now. May you search our hearts, comfort us. May you equip us and provide. Anoint your servant as he teaches your word. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Who hasn't had those moments of fear? Palpable fear. It could be that you were awaiting some results. Maybe it was a diagnosis of a condition, either yours or someone very close to you. Maybe you were on the cusp of a financial crisis. And as you pawed over your accounts, suddenly fear gripped you. Maybe you were being bullied at school or college or university or work. And that sickening knot in your stomach on a Monday morning, just before you left the house. What am I going to face today? Maybe you have an unending fear of the uncertainty. Fear of risk. Fear of failure. Fears that just drown out the noise of friends or family around you. an overwhelming sense of despair or despondency. It seems like it's one dark winter, and there's going to be no spring. In those moments, we can find ourselves crippled or disabled by fear. And yet, in the midst of this psalm, David was twice reminded that he need not fear. In those opening three verses, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Verse 3, though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. And he has to remind himself that he need not, cannot allow himself to be paralyzed by fear. It is the most natural human emotion that we can experience because we do not have control. And fear comes through a loss of control. If I can fix this situation, if I can navigate this situation, if I can change some of the circumstances that I am facing, then I wouldn't be so paralyzed by fear. Fear is a reminder that we do not, cannot make sovereign God-like choices. And in the midst of all of that, God comes to David and he says, listen, you've got to remember that regardless of life circumstances and difficulties, no matter how many times you've pawed those financial accounts, no matter how many times you have sat in the doctor's office or you have been upset with life circumstances, that verse 1 says, the Lord is the stronghold of my life. He is the stronghold of my life. He is that safe place that you and I go to. And what better place is there to go to in the midst of life with all its complexities and problems and difficulties? Where else can we gain our courage? We can run to perhaps an accountant or our bank manager, or we can try to seek a second opinion or have the top consultant, or we can go to the best counselor that is available, or try to navigate with all the expertise of family and friends around us through the most difficult of circumstances. But yet, here the psalmist David was aware of all of those things. He had everything at his disposal. He was a king. Who could he not call or beckon to his courts? He would have the resources of the kingdom to employ the best physician. He could have the best counselor available to the courts of his kingdom. He could entertain these individuals in the secrecy of the palace. Instruct me, advise me, guide me, provide for me. But in the midst of all of that, he was so conscious that he did not have control over any of these things, but he would run to the one who did, into the stronghold and into the presence of the King of the universe. The Lord is my stronghold, the stronghold of my life. One thing I ask of the Lord, and this is what I seek, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Verse 5, in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me upon a rock. And we can do all the searching in human terms for the answers that we seek. But David was saying here something much more profound, much simpler. The one thing I seek is to be in your presence. It's the one thing I seek beyond everything else. And whilst I may gather around me the greatest of all human wisdom and human intervention, I only need to do one thing: seek you. I come into your presence not to require a change in my circumstances, but to find that safe place, that stronghold in the midst of crisis and difficulty. There isn't one thing that I humanly can do to change the accounts or to change the consultant's diagnosis or prognosis. There's not one thing I can do to alter any of my life circumstances that will radically change except the presence of God. And when I go into his presence, and when I find that I am there and overwhelmed by him, I feel safe. I don't feel frightened. I don't feel anxious at all when I'm in his presence, because there is the God of the universe, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is the same power that is ministering into my life. The same power that brought life into a formless body called Adam breathes life into me. And in the midst of all that I experience, and all that is dark, and all that is overpowering and overwhelming, I find in God's presence the stronghold of my life. He is my rampart. He is my shield. And it's amazing that I can dwell in his safe place in the tabernacle, the place reserved as the Holy of Holies, for a high priest is now accessible by me. And I can find rest in his presence. In the midst of this chaotic world that is hurtling at such speed and pace, when I rest in him, I gain my strength. I gain perspective. And I look at the world differently when I'm there. It is through the window of his tabernacle that I look, and not the broken world of my own. He provides, and he does so with such goodness and love. And he offers safety, but he also fully satisfies. Verse 7 says, "Hear my voice when I call, O Lord, be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says, if you seek his face, your face, Lord, I seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, O God, my Father." And this is amazing. Verse 10. "Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Though my father and mother forsake me." We have a deep-rooted fear, and that is abandonment. There's only one thing worse facing life's circumstances with your family and with your friends. Only one thing worse: to face them on your own. That hurts. We were never created to be isolated. We were never created to be abandoned. And yet one of the most disabling experiences in life is to be rejected. We can take rejection from enemies. And in many senses here, the psalmist David begins in that journey, and he said, "I have enemies, I have foes. I have those who have upset in the courts of the kingdom. I know my enemies who sat at my table. I'm not stupid. They want to be where I am. And in many ways, we can deal with those who are difficult, those who are opposed to us. We can grow a thick skin. But how thick can your skin be when those positioned in your life to bring love and security and safety are the very ones that take it from you? Though my father and mother forsake me, and that's worse, because the fear of abandonment and being left in your own, you begin to look at what appears to have been the reason that people didn't accept you. Somehow we distort life's journey that we must be at fault, that there's something deep inside of us that causes others to reject us. It's something in what we say or what we do, an integral fault within our personalities that make it hard for people to love us. And yet, David said something wonderful. In the midst of such crushing defeat and abandonment, he said this: "The Lord will receive me. The Lord will receive me." Does that not remind you of how much you're loved? Because the Bible says this, that all our righteousness is as filthy rags. All our righteousness is as filthy rags. And how many of us have sought so hard to be received and welcomed by others, to be appreciated and to be valued? We set off in childhood trying to please our parents. It's culturally built into us that there are certain things that we do that gains their approval. And therefore, if we do relatively well at school, that in some measure, when we come home, we're looking for that word of affirmation: "Well done. You did well today." Or we go back into school and we're looking from a teacher some word of approval based on something that we have done that merits their commendation. And right there from early childhood, we're socialized into the experience that acceptance is conditional, that we've got to live the right way, act the right way, do the right things. There are certain things that society approves of and it disapproves of. If we do the things that are approved of, we are remunerated, not just in financial terms, but also in the social acceptance of what we do and the network of people that we can begin to associate with. But do the wrong things, we are disconnected from that world. We are placed in prisons that are separated from others within society. We are not welcomed, nor are we a safe person to integrate within community. And right throughout our earthly journey, we are trying to get better and better and better and better in the hope that one day some will accept us for what we do, as much as what we are. But if the Bible says that all our righteousness is as filthy rags, then what right has God to accept us? Because even the best of us cross the street when we see someone begging for money. Even the best of us make a little sidestep without attempting to get to know them, who they are, their life journey, and how they've arrived there. But not God. Not God. David had sinned. David was born into sin. David knew that from his mother's womb, he was broken and had a default towards his own sinfulness. But there was a day that he came crawling to God as a beggar. And the Lord received him. And today, through Jesus Christ, though you fear abandonment, though you have worked hard at trying to please others and be accepted and feel the dissatisfaction of that, can be fully satisfied today that if you are willing, if you come to Jesus, that even though you come as a beggar, even though you come as someone who has spiritual leprosy, even though you approach him, he will not reject you. He will not abandon you. He will not cast you away. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft I had gathered thee as a hen gathers her chicks, but ye would not. Something held you back from coming to the King of Kings, to the Lord of Lords. Was it a fear of rejection? Was it a fear that he would abandon you because of your sinfulness? No, Jesus died on a cross for you. Jesus loved you so much. Jesus cares for you so much that he gave his most precious life because you are worth loving. Because he created you in his image, not for approval, but for relationship. He wants you, no matter how discolored you are by sin, no matter how corrupted you have been by the world's brokenness and your own sinfulness, if you come to him, if you crawl even into his presence, he will lift you to your feet. I love you. I will receive you. That's the greatest place with the greatest person that we could ever get to know. In the dwelling place, in safety, with a person who wants us to be there, not because of what we have done, not because of human achievements, not because of our efforts, but because of his Son's love and his grace to receive you, even though you are broken and marred and distorted by life's corruption. He loves you enough to say, I welcome you. Come into my house. Sit at my table. Eat of my food. Listen to my conversation. Receive from my love. I will make sure that I am your stronghold in times of difficulty. When the world rallies against you, when life has been tough and you have been broken, come to me and you will find rest. All ye who labor and are heavy laden, take my yoke and burden upon you, because it's light in comparison to the weight of the world that you have experienced. Do you lack courage today? You can find all the courage you need here. Because when he is in the house, when he is in your house, when you're in his house, when he has received you, when he has provided for you, then you will know. Lastly, was it any wonder he said, I am still confident of this. Regardless of everything else, I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and be patient. When you're patient, I will come. And you need not ever lose heart. Life may have kicked the heart out of you, but God gives it back. Life might have been tough. You could have experienced the worst of all human situations, but there is a safe place in God. You don't need to ask anything of Him in that safe place. You see, we talk too much. Because we think we have something to say, even to God. Did God ever require every conversation from us? Or is it not just enough to go to the safe place and sit? Do you think God has to ask a dozen questions at our arrival? Take a moment. Sit down. Catch your breath, God says. I'm here. And together, we will get through. For I will make sure of it. My reputation is built on it. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. This into our lives, may we lift up our eyes to You in Jesus' name.